the Public News Service DOAA newscast for November the 10th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. One of the nation's largest labor unions has become the latest organization to demand a ceasefire in Gaza as Israel's war with Hamas plays out.
The American Postal Workers Union announced on Wednesday that its members are shocked and saddened by the tragic and ongoing violence in Israel and Palestine. The statement condemns the Hamas violence of October 7th, but also says Israel's response has made the prospects for peace more remote. APWU Detroit local president Keith Combs points out that an estimated 4,000 children are among more than 10,000 deaths in the conflict so far.
Israel has shut off the flow of food, water, fuel, and medical supplies to Gaza Strip. A war crime, a humanitarian catastrophe, is unfolding every day in Gaza. 1,000 more innocent civilians stand to die, woefully preventable deaths.
The White House announced Thursday that Israel has agreed to a daily four-hour humanitarian pause from bombing Gaza to allow civilians to flee. But there's no word on whether those who leave will be allowed back in at a later date. The push for a longer pause comes as part of President Joe Biden's renewed diplomatic push to free hostages taken by Hamas. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
Now, from the Associated Press, Democrat Joe Manchin of West Virginia announced Thursday that he will not seek re-election in 2024. That giving Republicans a prime opportunity to pick up a seat in the heavily GOP state. Manchin, who is now 76, said he made the decision after months of deliberation and long conversations with his family. The AP notes the decision to step down, while not totally unexpected, severely hampers Democratic hopes of holding on to the coal country seat, marking the end of an era for West Virginia, which voted reliably blue for decades before flipping red. And a new scientific report from a wildlife conservation group details the potential impacts of climate change on jobs in Montana and the environment.
The report, released by the Montana Wildlife Federation and based on what it calls the best available science, predicts an annual loss of 8,800 outdoor recreation jobs and a $263 million economic impact in lost wages by mid-century due to the effects of climate change. Federation President Frank Selassie says the effects will be felt most strongly in Montana's iconic national parks.
Glacier and Yellowstone, accounting for about 43% of the total job impacts and 41% of the total labor income losses. Montana's hunters, anglers, and outdoor enthusiasts, you know, were the first to witness the changing climate's tangible effects.
The report says the average temperature in Montana is projected to rise at least 6 degrees by mid-century. August would see the biggest warm-up. I'm Mark Moran.
This is Public News Service. A new report finds a little more than 119,000 New York City students are now homeless.
The group Advocates for Children of New York says 61% of those students were temporarily sharing housing due to the loss of their own residence. Another 34% have spent time living in city shelters. And this isn't a new problem. The report says its eighth-year student homelessness has risen. Jennifer Pringle with Advocates for Children of New York describes how this affects their education.
Those students in shelter face significant barriers to their education. For example, 72% of kids in shelter were chronically absent, which is almost twice the rate of permanently housed students. They also transferred schools at four times the rate of their permanently housed peers.
To tackle this problem, the city hired community coordinators to help students and families living in temporary housing. But funding for these positions will run out at year's end. Should the funding be continued, Pringle says more community coordinators are needed, since the original funding was allocated before the pandemic and the number of homeless students has only grown. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And that proposal to create a public-owned utility in Maine was defeated, but the confusion surrounding electricity rates remains.
A series of free upcoming workshops aims to help older Mainers better understand their electric bills and advocate for lower rates. Alf Anderson of AARP Maine says the election showed everyone has a stake in the future of Maine's utility prices.
There was a lot of disinformation, confusing information, things that people just didn't know they didn't know. So we're really hoping to offer that baseline understanding to people.
The first workshop takes place Tuesday, November 14th at the University of Southern Maine and will include representatives from CMP, Versant, and the Office of the Public Advocate. Online registration is required. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Maine has some of the highest residential electricity rates in the nation. Finally, Eric Tegenhoff lets us know Medal of Honor recipients will be honored this weekend for Veterans Day.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award in the nation for valor on the battlefield. On Sunday, a salute to service halftime show at the Dallas Cowboys football game against the New York Giants will honor 16 recipients, including Seattle native Lieutenant Colonel William Swenson.
I'll be out there on the field on that day. What we'll be representing, though, is the character of all Americans and the heroism that all Americans have access to through their everyday lives.
President Abraham Lincoln created the Medal of Honor 160 years ago. It's a highly selective award, with only about 3,500 people receiving it, of which 65 are alive today. The Medal of Honor Museum is being built in Arlington, Texas, and Congress has approved a monument for the award in Washington, D.C.
New legislation in the Congress this year would ensure the monument is located within 1,000 feet of the Lincoln Memorial. This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. Hear us on great radio stations, on your favorite podcast platform, and you can find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.